Welcome to Galactic Grandmother Heart to Heart. My name is April. My special guest today is James Gilliland. James is an author, a speaker, a teacher, a healer, and he's the founder of the Aseti Ranch in Washington State. Aseti stands for Enlightened Contact with Extraterrestrial Intelligence, and the Aseti Ranch has hosted conferences, scientists, researchers, teachers, healers for over 30 years. James has over 40 years of training in both Eastern and Western traditions. He's been initiated by yogis, lamas, Native American, and Hawaiian elders. He's both an ET contactee and a near-death experiencer, and he hosts a weekly radio program on BBS Radio entitled As You Wish Talk Radio. So welcome, James. It's so nice to see you and have you here.
Yeah, it's great to be on the show. I'm glad you started the show up. There needs to be more like it.
It's all guided by, you know, above.
Yeah.
You have had such an extraordinary childhood between what your dad, you know, showed you, your near-death experience, your special connection with Mary. Would you just give us a little background about your childhood and how you think that may have prepared you for your path in this incarnation?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. When I was 5 years old, I was really ill, and I had bronchial pneumonia, and I was, they put me in one of these tanks, you know, I don't know if they still do that now, like an oxygen tank and trying to keep me going. But they told my parents several times I wasn't going to make it, you know, through the night. To be prepared. And Mary would come to me and say, we're not Catholic, and actually neither is she, but because she's a universal being. But I didn't know who she was, you know. But when she came to me, she was all in blue, wearing this beautiful blue gown, and all the nurses had green uniforms in there. So it was kind of interesting. But I kept asking for the woman in blue, and they said, oh, there's no woman in blue, you know, you're hallucinating and things like that. But she would talk to me, and she would stroke my head, and then she would, she gave me a substance to eat, and I ate it. And it was really interesting because it looked like ice cream, but it wasn't cold. And then I was never sick a day after that. And I think it was like a crystallized oxygen formula, something like that, because we're doing that right now on the planet, something similar. But we're working with biophysicists and people like that that are creating very similar things right now. Those will be ready pretty soon, I think, too. All these technologies are waiting for the old guard to collapse, and then they'll be coming in. But anyway, back to that story. So I pulled out of it, and, you know, I went home, and they couldn't believe it, and I didn't miss a day of school or anything. I never got sick after that. And we moved to the high desert. And so I spent a lot of time up on these granite boulders by myself in the desert. And I had conversations going back and forth. And I didn't know who that was either at the time. You know, it turned out to be Palladians. And they helped me depersonalize a lot of things that were going on in my life and people's behaviors. And I couldn't understand why. And my mom and I had a lot of issues, and we they helped me depersonalize and understand why that was happening. And so it was great. And then I got kind of indoctrinated into school, and you have to get rid of your invisible friends and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You
know,
school. Yeah. And then at around 25, I had a drowning where I totally went through the tunnel and ended up in that golden plane of bliss. And that was the most amazing thing that ever happened. I think that was the highlight of my whole life, that experience. But
wow,
I got to experience Source and what it is. And it's just this pure, unconditional, loving, joyous, golden light. That's the only way I can explain it. There's no words to explain it. And I had a conversation with it. And then afterwards, the first thing that happened to me, I said, I want I said, how can I stay? And they said, I never told my children when to come or go. That's free will. And I go, well, how can I earn the right to stay? Because I had some of that guilt programming and things. And they said, you can't earn what is given freely and unconditionally. And I'm going, wait a second, this isn't the God I was told about, And we all have some indoctrination about that, no matter what. And then I asked, how can I serve? And it says, what brings you joy? And I said, well, I really want to teach people about the true nature of God, what it is that we're given all these false images, and we have all the bearded gods of the past and, all the religions and everything else, and they miss the mark. They don't cover what's really happening. After that experience, I realized, well, after I said I'm going to come back and teach, I heard As You Wish, and I was back in the body, and the lifeguards are trying to get me back going again. After that experience, I realized that we've never been judged. God can't judge. It's beyond that. It's beyond any judgment. It doesn't have an ego or personality but we judge ourselves. Our own fear and guilt create experiences. And if we do negative things to others in this world, their family is going to come after us or them, So we do create karma down here, but the creator is beyond that. It's way beyond all that duality and games. It can't judge. And so it totally freed me after that. I really realized that, although you need to stay in the heart and be of service and help others as much as you can, the old program is you're never going to hit the mark. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be perfect. You're never, it's always the division game. And then I also realized too, is that you can't divide yourself from God. It's omnipresent. It's there's no way you can live the illusion. You can be taught you're separate. You can be taught you're separate from everything and everyone, but the creator's omnipresent within all creation. So once you realize that, it really frees you and frees you up, and your whole life just gets better.
And how did that near-death experience change your life? Did it?
Well, yeah, I was in commercial real estate at the time, and I was a board of director on the Chamber of Commerce, and I was really after the buck, trying to, because if I make all this money, I'll be happy, I'll have the fast car and the nice house and all that stuff, and I did. I had all that, and I just realized that those are just touchstones. That true happiness, true love and joy and bliss comes from within. Everything else is transitory. And so I quit, I quit that whole business, and I went up and lived in the Redwoods for a while. And it took me a long time to get grounded, because it sounds freaky, but things weren't as solid as you would think when that happens to you. And I would see things turn into these little golden light balls and then come back again. They go out of form and back into form, and things go on back and forth. And so even the ground wasn't as solid as I'd hoped it would be. So I was really having trouble getting grounded, getting back on earth again. And then I started studying with yogis and lamas, and I tried to find people kind of in Christian faith, and they're too polarized. Everything is either God or the devil, and if they don't understand it, it goes into the devil category. And so I went to some psychics, some little old ladies that really helped me out. And they said, you need to get out of here. I was in Orange County, and they go, you need to get out of here. Get out of here. You're not going to find people you can relate to or anything. You need to get out in nature. And so I did. But, that's where I got most. And I went through the TIC, the Teachings of Inner Christ. I went through their program and self-mastery classes and everything and inner sensitivity training. And then I went through the Tibetan Foundation. And then I studied with the elders of every nation, all the different ones. But, in the beginning, this sounds bizarre in a way, but in the beginning, I had all these beings appearing to me, and I had no foundation. And so I didn't know who was good, who to talk to, who not to talk to, or anything else. And so I learned how to clear those out And then I was working a lot on the interplanes with Jesus and Babaji and some of the other masters. And they would bring White Eagle and other cultures in to say, you have to go study with them to understand. But invariably, I found out, I basically, you know, we all go to the same place and we all come back from the same place. And we're all family and everything's one. And it doesn't matter. You know, you can name it whatever you want or name the different levels. It is just no longer important.
And how did you end up going to Washington and finding the land for the Aseti Ranch?
I kept having visions. I was in Santa Cruz, California, and my place was too small. We were teaching classes there, and my place was just too small there. And so I kept having visions over and over again of this beautiful place. I could see the mountain, the huge mountain in front, and the river, and I had an overview of it. And I kept seeing these words, little mountain. And I go, what? This makes no sense at all. And it turns out I'm on Little Mountain Road.
Oh.
And the little mountain is right behind us. It's called Little Mountain Road. I just packed everything up. I found a map and I used divine. I found out exactly where it was and packed everything up and came here and went right to it.
And the land was for sale, the ranch?
I think what's really weird, when I first came here, I was in Hood River, Oregon, which is right across the river.
Uh-huh.
I kind of landed there and I kept looking up at that mountain. I go, that's it. That's it. And I want to go over there. And I went to these realtors and they kept showing me all these other places on the Oregon side. And I said, no, it's not. It's by that mountain. You know, I kept telling them. And so I drove by this sign. And it was, I can't remember the name of the company, but it was one of the local real estate companies. And I looked at it and I said, you know, that's probably where I need to go. And I felt guilty because this other guy had shown me a bunch of properties, but he wouldn't take me where I wanted to go. And I was meditating. I got this big voice saying, you know, be true to the guidance. You're getting guidance to call this number, you know, and it just kept showing up. And so I called the number and I talked to this guy and he goes, yeah, I know exactly what you're looking for. And so he showed me two or three places. And he go, but this is what you described, this place. And he took me there. And it was just crazy. I'm standing there and I had eagles flying over my head. And the mountain was doing all this big orange cylinder cloud, you know, on the mountain. And it looked like something out of the Old Testament movie. And I'm getting tears, you know, and I go, God, what a download. I go, this is it. And so I talked to the guy and I said, this is it. This is the place. And he goes, it's not for sale, but he said, the people that own it are going through a divorce. And I know the woman, I can give her a call and just make an offer. And I said, well, what do you think a fair offer would be? And, you know, so we made a fair offer on it. And now it's like crazy what it's worth now we got a really good deal on it and it went through and that's how it all got started.
Now, how much acreage do you have there?
The total is 70.
Wow. 70 acres.
So there's a lot. And then there's we've only developed a small part of it and we have the conference building and the bridge house and guest house and some yurts there, but there's a whole nother 33 acres that's ready to go. And it's a long story, but I just got total control of that because I sold a piece to a relative and then they lost it and we had to bail it out. And it's a long story, but my mom just crossed over and I got it back in the wheel. So now I can
awesome.
Back and finish the whole thing, you know, the whole acreage. But we've got a lot of just incredible people lined up with technologies and healing technologies and water technologies and energy technology, everything. And it's kind of unfolding. And so it'll be like, I have people with like 9 PhDs and things like that, you know, that have technology that we dream about, but, it'll be, a, it'll, we're not sure. We want to make a school out of it, and we want to teach people universal law and teach the kids, you know, universal law and but have the extreme technologies there too. And I think a lot of these kids now coming in, they're just lit up and they don't have anywhere to go and they don't have anybody to talk to, and they're shoved in these little boxes and turned into little consumers, and they have the minds to understand, you know, these technologies and the higher consciousness and what's going on. So, I mean, they're ready for it. They're loaded, and we just have to create a space for them. But it's kind of earmarked for that. The problem is I'm one person, and I have all these big giant projects. And so I have that project and the Hawaii project, and I just got out of the jungle right now. Just been cleaning up all this invasive stuff and reclaiming the land. But it, you know, I think about it. It's like I could use a light crew right now, you know, to come in. but we're in the process of putting that together. I know everything has its time, but foundation is there. We have the land. Everything's ready to go, and it's just a matter of bringing the right people in. And I have you know, both MD and chiropractic people that have those degrees, and they know how to use these other technologies and things like that. So it's all there. It just has to be orchestrated and put it together and create the foundation.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Now, you had spoken about five different interdimensional higher intelligent beings that frequent SETI in Washington. Yeah. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, we have a lot of Palladian activity there. We have the Orion Council of Light comes in quite a bit. We have Sirian influence that comes in there. We have three different types of feline beings that come in, humanoid cat beings. And then there's like 14 foot tall panther type beings that are upright. And then there's 17 foot tall lion beings. And those have been well documented throughout history. And they're the protectors of the gods. And so they've been coming in. We have a lot of photographs of Kuan Yin and Babaji and Mary and masters appearing there as well. So there's so much going on. The veils between worlds are so thin there, and we're seeing the fairy kingdom, everything. We're seeing things Bigfoot cruises through all the time. There's just so much going on there that, you know, not everybody's ready for it. It's like too much for some people, because you got to master fear. You know, you got to get past your fears.
But that's one reason why we're doing, you know, these interviews, is we want to expose the mainstream population and expand awareness of what's our natural human nature and what is really part of our world. You know,
The problem that if you look at mainstream and you look at Hollywood and the music industry and all of that stuff, it's all designed to trap you in the first three chakras, which are survival, sex, and power. Mm-hmm. And so they keep pushing the fear and this and that, and that's all it locks you in those. And so where do you hear, you know, every once in a while you hear a song that's all about love and not need, but true love, you know, or you'll hear, you see a movie every once in a while, but all the movies have a format, you know, boy meets girl, boy saves girl, girl saves boy, they save the planet, you know, something. They all have the same format. And if you don't follow that format, you don't go anywhere in Hollywood, you know, so it's all programmed that way. But, you know, where the movies about the higher dimensional beings that are extremely spiritual and technologically advanced, we need a whole re-education process right now. People around us, I mean, they have their hands in the ground. It's hands-on. We do our own farming, we do our own gardening, grow our own food and things like that. So, they learn how, where their food comes from, how to grow it, how to process it, everything. So
that's great.
It's important to be grounded, you know, and do. Mm-hmm. I love that old saying, Confucius say, man with head in clouds stumble in ditch, you know. So we need to get grounded. And the more grounded you are, the more energy you can bring in too as well. So.
I was at Ysetti Ranch in Washington. I can't remember the year. It was the year that the Galactic Medicine Wheel
Oh,
was
yeah, Tashina.
Tashina,
Yeah.
and that was really special. I really enjoyed that. But I missed out on a Skywatch. It was
Oh.
rainy that night.
Oh, darn,
Yeah,
yeah.
but when
It's
I
funny if you fly a drone and take pictures of that medicine wheel, it is perfect. And the way it was laid out, it was all more intuitive and everything, but it is perfectly round. The all the sides are everything. You look at you go, who, how did that get so perfect like that? It's amazing, but it's just all done by spirit and intuition.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I would have thought that, you had a post in the middle and a string or a rope and you
Yeah,
walked
yeah.
around because it really is perfect.
Yeah, but it's yeah, the way it ended up is just amazing.
And Sasquatch or Bigfoot, they're kind of entertaining there too, aren't they? I know. I heard some branches breaking or creaking or moving around when I was there. What have you learned about the Sasquatch since you've been there?
Well, they're part of the human experience, and they evolved in nature, but they stayed in nature. They didn't war with nature. They developed themselves or evolved with nature. And so a lot of things you see shamans do and other people, the bilocation and shape shifting and all that stuff, that's natural for them. That's part of their natural evolution. And they have those abilities, and they can travel as a light sphere and just all of a sudden appear wherever they want. And we've had a lot of interaction with them. They get a little pissy sometimes if you don't pay attention, they'll knock stuff over. But it's funny too, is we put peanut butter out, and they'll take the lid off, scoop the peanut butter out, and eat it. It has to be organic. Eat it, put the lid back on, and put it back up on the pole. And so people go, well, that's an animal. I go, you show me an animal that'll take the lid off. A raccoon, maybe we could probably get the lid off, but and eat all the stuff and then put the lid back on and put it back on the pole. No animal does that. It doesn't happen. So we had so many witnesses that have seen Bigfoot cruising around, and we see him going, and we have a young one there that kind of breaks the rules because they really don't interact with humans. They have kind of a rule, like it's dangerous. And then we have a young one there that likes to mess with people, and he'll run right up to them, and they'll see him, and then he'll turn and run away. It just freaks them out. It turns their
That
world
would be
upside down.
startling.
Yeah.
Now,
And he gets a big kick out of that.
one more question about Ysetti. Have you seen an upsurge in extraterrestrial ships this year?
Yeah, it's massive ships coming over, bigger ships than we've ever seen before. There's a real uptick in the different kinds of ships. A lot of military activity, a lot of black helicopters have been coming around. The ships are interacting with the black helicopters. So you'll see the black helicopters coming in. You'll see three ships. If there's three helicopters, there's three ships, and they buzz them and go by so fast. You have to slow the film down to see them, and you'll see three ships buzz them. And so everybody goes, are you afraid of the military watching you? And I said, no, we're watching the military. So and they're probably freaking out when they see these things go by. They're moving so fast that I'm sure they come up on their radar and then gone. So
I mean, they're probably there because they know that the ships are there at
oh
East.
yeah, and there's nothing they can do about it, especially not in a helicopter, or a jet or anything else. There's these things just phase out. They're one minute and just gone. And they can do several thousand miles an hour and make a right angle turn. What do you do with that? What kind of technology is that? And one ship becomes three and then back to one again. And so they have extreme physics. They have extreme technology.
You're in Hawaii right now,
Yeah.
right? Have you connected with that Lemurian consciousness over there or met any Lemurian beings since
Yeah,
you
we have some really interesting things are coming here because we're having the veils here are really thin as well. We're having a lot of old Hawaiians show up that need clearing, and we're helping them move on. We're having a lot of the goddesses, the Hawaiian goddesses, appear. We've connected with Pele, and there's Leilani and all these other ones. And then they give us their name, and then we find out the street is right there, it's like you go out our driveway and the street's like right there and it's named after them. You go, what? This is too weird. But a lot of the beings that we're connecting with, they're really happy we're here. They're really happy we're honoring them and working with them. And when Paley appeared, I went kind of like, oh crap, hope I'm not in trouble here, And so I had a talk with her and I said, this is why we're here. We're going to try to help and clean up the land. And the land was a mess when we got here, a lot of hauling a lot of garbage out of here and stuff. And say, we're just here to help raise the frequencies and help the people here, whoever needs clearing, and as much as we can. And she softened. I saw her whole demeanor change. And then I just felt a real connection with her, like totally, like finally, you were getting the right people here. But we're getting photographs of the Orion Council of Light beings showing up here, some Palladian, some other beings, and just huge light beings just standing right in front of the place, and we're getting photographs of them as well as a lot of ship activity here too. And we're out in the ocean. I filmed a huge golden ship just sitting there for a while, and then it just blinked out and disappeared. And the next day there was a big old naval ship there, like a big gray naval ship right there, right
Checking
in
it
the exact
out.
park in the same spot. And I posted it on Telegram and Facebook, and it was funny. The next day the ship's there, and we had black helicopters flying over. We have really low black helicopters coming in. But I have some friends that are very psychic. They're very, and the two friends of mine went to this one woman for a reading, and she said, yeah, they know you're there. They said they know you're there. They're trying to figure out what you're going to do, but it's kind of interesting. They're always looking, trying to figure out what's going on.
Have you learned any of the Lemurian history, like what happened prior to it sinking, or?
I know about that. That's well, what happened is you had Atlantis and Lemuria, and then Lemuria kind of divided. I mean, Atlantis divided, and they had the people that they worshiped the intellect and science, and they went into power over others and using their science in a wrong way. And the Lemurians were warning them, you're not working within universal law. You're getting into service to self, and you're out of control. And so they came and they just melted down the Lemurian colonies. And so a lot of people think Lemurians were just like people that lived in nature and things like that. No, they were spacefaring. They were very advanced, and they did live in nature. They saw the creator in everyone and everything. They worshiped the unseen God in everyone and everything. And so they, one of their group, brought a meteor and hit Atlantis, and took care of Atlantis. So
Have you gotten any updates from extraterrestrials regarding where we're at with that, with our higher timeline?
yeah, they're working very hard on cleaning up the, I'm trying to think of the way, they're like the intruders, the people that have intruded on us since for 400 and something thousand years. They've been cleaning up all that. We've been under draconian law since then, and they've been helping, clean up the dumps, the deep underground places, and the pockets, where there's a lot of kind of tall grays and reptilians, and then there's serpent beings and royal reptilians and djinn and all that stuff. They're helping us clean that up. And we've got beings coming in all the way to the 13th dimension that are coming in to help, and they're planetary protectors and things like that. So that, with that kind of power coming in, there's no way the tyrants can continue. They're not frequency specific to the Earth and its evolution. And we're moving through that highly energized place in space. People call it the photon belt, or everybody has a different name for it. And the Schumann resonance is off the scale. The whole electromagnetic light spectrum, there's new bands coming in.
Oh.
You know, it's all there. Cosmic ray index is off the scale. Cosmic rays actually create genetic alterations and things like that. So there's no way of getting around it. I mean, the energy coming into the planet. So, and it's affecting the bioelectric fields around the body, and it's affecting our consciousness and everything else. So everything's getting amplified and sped up. So karma is getting amplified. Action reaction is getting amplified. It's speeding up. And so these people are, if they don't figure it out, they're going to take themselves out really quick. You know, they're starting to go down really fast. It's almost instant karma that we're going through. And I know if I pull any kind of a stunt, I get hit immediately. I don't even get a break, you know. It's like instant, you know. Yeah. So I have to really watch, you know. I have to watch my bad sense of humor sometimes.
Oh, no. No, don't lose your sense of humor.
No, I won't.
I was given a vision of it being literally a heaven on earth here. And and I've mentioned this before, you know, with the children's education, where they really get to learn about their true nature and working with energies. Oh, yeah. And no one, and everyone on the planet has basic necessities. I mean, it's just truly wonderful. I just wasn't shown how we get from here to there.
Yeah. Well, I tell people, you know, don't get into fear, but it's probably going to get really ugly and then it's going to get really beautiful.
Yeah.
So because one, the chaos is coming in. That's part of the healing process. One group needs to collapse and the other group's going to come and take over. And when that does take over, then you're going to have the med beds, the fuelless energy technologies, anti-gravity, counter-gravity, all these amazing things, mm-hmm. healing technologies that are going to be coming in, as well as everything's going to be revamped. And uh-huh. I asked the Pleiadians once, I said, how do you teach your kids? And she said, well, we have counselors that are very spiritual. And they know what that kid's soul purpose is. They know, and we give that kid everything it needs to reach its highest potential. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they realize everything is one, and they give back to the whole. And they actually take the kids up on the ships, and they take them. They phase out into a light frequency.
Wow!
And so they have a near-death experience, and they realize they're one with everything. And then they bring them back, so they never lose that. They don't lose that consciousness. And so when they started doing this, they took a quantum leap in evolution. And that's what we have the potential to do. But we all have to do our part,
right,
to work for it. And we have to stop working for the beast. You know, we have to stop supporting the beast and try something different.
Follow our own creativity.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me see here. We've covered a lot. Oh, on your website, you have photos of the healing technique that you do, the transpersonal release sessions.
Yeah.
And I'm really curious to know how that came about and how that works.
Well, just a regular camera will pick a lot of that up. And with a flash, you know, a video with a flash will pick a lot up. But we actually took some technology called PIP technology. I think Harold Oldfield is the one that created that. And you can actually film the session. And when you're filming the session, you can actually see the energy come in. And if I'm working with Mary, the whole room turns pink. And that person's body pixelates into pink, you know, pink light. When I'm dealing with the feline beings, it's usually green or gold. Mm-hmm. And depending on who that person's guide is, it determines the colors, you know, that change and things like that. And so we've had a lot of, when I was doing a workshop in Australia, there's a guy that had a camera there. And every time I said, oh, this group is coming in, he could actually film it. And when the Pleiadians came in, we had a whiteout and the woman I was working with, her whole body just turned white, turned into white light. And I said, the Pleiadians are coming to you right now. So you can pick that up. There is technology that can prove that these frequencies are real, these energies are real, and that there is an exchange. And that's one of the ways we do it. There's other ways as well. But I always tell people, it's, you know, whatever you're experiencing is in you. You know, we're just reminding you of it. And we don't allow any worship or any guru type stuff or anything else. We're just strictly here to empower the people and help them remember who they are and release the past and heal. And that's our main focus. And unfortunately, right now, there are a lot of people out there, their come from isn't right. And they're trying to find love and acceptance and approval outside of themselves. And they're working things out. And that opens doors and other stuff comes in. So you got to get really clear. You got to be really clear with yourself. You have to have your own personal connection with Creator and work from that level and be in pure service mode. Because if you're not, there's doors that can open and other things can come in and hijack, you know, your whole soul purpose. But you know.
With those kind of energies coming in, it must really be a very powerful healing technique.
Yeah, it is. It's very thorough and it goes right to the core issues and pulls them out. And a lot of people that are staying at the ranch, it's kind of a prerequisite. You have to go through this or you can't handle the frequency.
Oh, yeah.
You'll start blaming, projecting. And even then, after a while, when people come to the ranch, the energy is so high there, we tell them, you know, they go, oh, I feel like I'm at home. You know, I feel like I'm in the Pleiades here and the higher beings are everywhere. I can really feel this. And I love this place. And I said, well, come back to me in about 3 days. And after about 3 days, everything is up, you know, everything. Because when the higher energy comes in, it's going to bring everything up. It's sympathetic resonance. It's going to bring it up to heal. And if they can get through that part and own their stuff and own their projections and their blames and all that stuff, then it's great. You know, then they get really solid and they have their own connection. But they got to go through that, you know, that dark night of the soul or whatever you want to call it. They have to go through that, you know, to be able to stay and hang out.
Well, I know in Mount Shasta, you know, Telos is in Mount Shasta, and the energy is very high. It attracts a lot of people. Yeah. And a dear soul sister of mine lives there, and I visit her frequently. And the people that are drawn to Mount Shasta, it's the same kind of thing. It's like that first year that it either makes them or breaks them, because high energies just bring everything up in their face.
I've seen that there as well a lot. And the closer you get to nirvana or ascension or whatever you want to call it, the more the demons rear their ugly heads and they're going to come at you. And so if you don't have a good foundation, you know, a lot of people lose it. They don't do well with those energies. And there's mixed energy in the Shasta. It's not all love and light. There's some other energy.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Sedona has the same thing. Sedona has a lot of reptilian energy there, but it has some really high energy.
Uh-huh.
You know, so you have to figure out where you're at.
You have a special connection that you've spoken about with Mary. And you talked about Mary's DNA lineage and how it contributed to Jesus's physical vehicle. I wanted to hear you talk about that some more.
Well, Mary was part of the royal family, and her genetics went back to Lyra, ancient Lyra. So she had very pure genetics, and that's why she was used. And when she was with child, and Joseph was upset and said, I'm not going to marry her, she's with the child and I haven't laid with her, and all that stuff. Well, this being came in, Gabriel, supposedly, this light being shows up and says, this is our child or my child, and you'll rear him as your own. And he goes, yes, sir. You know, so anyway, that went on. And people don't understand how that works. And what happened was, right now, just if you want to get down to physics, we can shoot a laser through a salamander egg into a frog egg, and that frog will become a salamander. and we can do the same thing. So we can transfer genetics now. We can already do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very easy for them with their abilities. They can probably do it spiritually, is to create a fetus in the womb and add their genetics to it and do the whole thing. So they use her genetics and then they jumped them up. And the archangels are mythological. Well, the mythological known as archangels, but throughout the universe, they're known as Andromedans. And they're 8 to 10 foot tall beings. They have magnetic light bodies, very high frequency body. Well, they had to do that to create the vehicle for Jesus to come in, because he came in from the seventh dimension, which is the plane of bliss. And he was done. He was done with everything. And when they say he laid his life down for us, that was what he laid down. He came in from the seventh dimension and housed a body and brought that wisdom along with 12 disciples, all had the teachings of 12 grand masters. Each one represented 12 grand masters. So that was, we don't know the whole story. There's much more to that story, but the, and Mary, so Mary, same thing, Mary Magdalene also, she was very adept. She went through all the Egyptian mystery schools and she did a lot, you know, some of those are tantric. And so together, when you have the male and the female, the positive and negative, they come together and you have that love energy, and you know, she helped him to ascend, basically using practices, you know, very spiritual practices. Now, a lot of Christians get offended by that because they think sex is dirty and evil and stuff. But, you know, it's, you know, you got to balance all seven chakras down here and keep them flowing and have love flowing through each chakra. Mm-hmm. And that's how you ascend. And you can't do it with a lot of judgment and, you know, anger about that. You have to keep things open. But the, she definitely helped them to ascend, and them coming together. And it was very easy because they both came in very high and they had very high genetics, and they're both holding a frequency. And, you know, he came in just loaded, you know, he was loaded. And, you know, people go, can't understand, because, you know, in the Bible, they have the jealous, wrathful, genocidal God, and then they have the all loving, all forgiving God. And Jesus says, I come to bring a new covenant, which is the all loving, all forgiving God. And so people are schizophrenic because they think God is all a genocidal maniac and jealous, wrathful and everything, but he's all loving and all forgiving. How do you put the two together? And the only way you can do it is understand there was two gods. The Old Testament God was jealous and wrathful. It was a different being. And the new one, you know, but when you have these images of bearded gods, you go, who created them? Yeah. And did they have a mother? You know, where's their counterpart? How come she's not in the picture? You know, so. They were in the past, you know, what happened to them. But anyway, it's we have to let go of a lot of programming, societal programming, religious programming, all these different programs to really get to the truth of what's really going on. And people go, well, you're not denying the presence of God. It's so much more vast than we're told. And I tell people, you know, even Jesus said, you know, you search the scriptures in vain, for I speak of a living God. And he's saying it's not in a book. It's all around you. You know, he said, he kept saying it, it's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You go, where's heaven? It's closer than the hair on your head. You know, what? And he's saying, you would do greater things than I, for I go on to the Father. You're still here. You can do all these things. So, I mean, all this stuff that he taught was empowering. It was very high level quantum physics. And people just didn't understand it. A lot of people still don't understand it. But, you know, where people are fighting, you know, like they're kind of going like this. You know, they're going, come. They want God to come, but they don't want to be torched, you know, or punished. And so until you realize you have to drop them, you have to drop your guard and just say, okay, let me have it. I surrender, you know. And when you're there, then everything opens up. But it's the whole programming right now on the planet is external.
Right.
Yeah. If you
read my mind,
you're seeking God externally. You're seeking love externally. You're seeking joy externally. You'll be happy if you have this fancy car, you drink this beer, you'll get the bronze babe on the beach. You'll have big car, you'll be happy if, and no, just be happy. That's your natural state.
Right.
Love is your joy is your natural state. You don't need all that stuff. And until you get away from all that and get out in nature, you'll never figure that out, because you're just being bombarded every day, you know, by these pictures and images and everything. And I went through, I'm lucky I went through that at an early stage. You know, I had all that stuff, and I realized, you know, this is,
mm-hmm.
this is just programming. You know, I need to work on all this stuff. So it's nothing wrong with having a nice car and things like that, but don't let it own you. You know, don't.
Right.
Your joy and your self-esteem should not be attached to that car, because somebody's probably going to steal it or hit it, you know.
Right.
It's going to rust and get dents in it, you know, and then your ego gets dense, and so it gets dented, you know. But that's the main thing, is it's an inward journey. Everybody has to make their own personal connection with Creator, and on the way you're going to connect with all these other beings, masters, saints, and sages, and, you know, very spiritually and technologically advanced off-worlders. You're going to experience those, but you're also going to experience the other ones that don't want you to, they're going to try to sabotage your mm-hmm. expansion and your awareness. And so you have to realize that those are there too, and you have to clear them out of your space.
And hopefully they're being cleared out of everywhere quickly.
There's a huge, huge cleanup going on the astral level. Like, I spent so much time in the astral level, I'm not getting any sleep, and I'm just doing so much work in there. And I'm just like, guys, I need a couple nights of just solid sleep, you know, and to regenerate here. But the veils are getting very thin right now, and people are seeing flashes of light around their peripheral vision. They're seeing shadow beings. They're seeing all these things are happening right now because the veils are getting very thin. And don't get into fear. You know, the ultimate power in the universe is love, and we can bring that love of Creator through us, through the heart, mm-hmm. into every situation. And they run. They don't want to be around that energy. They get out of there very quickly.
Now, did you have an incarnation during the time that Jesus was here?
Yeah. I don't talk too much about that because I really want to get away from being special.
Pardon?
I'm not special. I'm just like everybody else.
But right.
I had a drowning and a few other things happened. But I came in with memories too. I have full memory of my other lives and everything. But I had two experiences. One, I was an old man. I was a grandfather, and I was watching the kids play, and I was sitting on this hill, and that was our job, to keep an eye on the kids, you know, teach the kids and hang out with the kids. And that's the elderly, you know, that's the way it should be. The elderly,
mm-hmm.
you know, take care of the kids, you know, walk, keep an eye on the kids. And I died. And so when I saw these kids, I go, you know, he has a twin brother and all this other stuff people don't know about. And the other kids, and I go, these guys are going to do something. You know, I really want to see what happens. I want to see what happens with these kids. And so I died, and I just did a loop. I came back in again, and I can't remember how old I was. I think I was about 9 years old when I ran into Jesus, and he was like 30 or something. I'm not sure how old he was. And his brother, Thomas. And they were together, and I ran into them again, and they were in a temple, a Zoroaster temple. And they were calling out the priests there, who were living very fat, you know, off the others. And he was calling out the caste system and this stuff, the level, you know, all this stuff. And he said, no, you need to serve the people, you know, they're serving you, you know. So they got their henchmen together, you know, and they're going to get rid of them, you know, because they were a threat to their mm-hmm. system. So, and I was the water boy. I was the water boy. And, you know how the universe works. It always puts somebody in the right place. You know, I don't know. It was really weird. And so I was the water boy, and I sit in there, and they're all making plans to do them in, to get rid of them. And so I left, and I got some water, and I went to give them water to make it look like I was doing my job, you know. And I told him, I said, hey, they're making plans to get rid of you. And I said, you need to get out of here. There's too many of them. And I have full memory of that. And Jesus wanted to stay and fight. People don't realize that, but he was powerful. He was a swordsman. He was very well trained in martial arts and everything else. And he wanted to stay and fight. And Thomas kind of said, no, we got to go. And I was saying, you know, I saw what they're gathering, you know, you need to go. So they took off and they took me with them. And then they dropped me off at a place. And I found out later they dropped me off at the House of Mary, which is the grandmothers. They have a place, a thing at this time, it's called the House of Mary. And it had Mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, it had all the grandmothers, everything. And they had a very large group that gathered there, even bigger than his group. And that's where he hung out. He hung out there because they were that divine feminine, that love, that's what he taught. And he felt more comfortable there. So he spent a lot of time there and in nature. And it's kind of funny because I'm the same way. I don't like all the competition, rooster energy, and like nature, and love the divine feminine energy.
Yeah.
But I understand that. But anyway, those are the two lives that I had. And well, we've all done that. You know, we've all had amazing lives. And mm-hmm. I had lives where I was a cripple in England, and I was a road bandit in another life, and I was a Viking warrior in another one. So we've done everything, and I've had a lot of off-world lives where I was ship captains and ran a sanctuary and all this stuff, which I'm doing again. I'm creating a sanctuary, the same kind of sanctuary that we had in the Orion Council of Light, you know, with that group. So
a sanctuary in.
Well, it's the same foundation, like in the Orion system, there was it called Lahar. And and most of it was underground, and they went through the Orion Wars and it wasn't affected. And they helped beat back the reptilians and the grays and the other guys that came in. But they were split too. The problem is they had all these high council guys that were arrogant, and the seers, we were like the seers. We came to them and said, something's coming. You better gear up for this. Something's coming. And we told them, I said, these beings, and they go, well, if we gear up and prepare for war, we'll be a threat and they're going to annihilate us. And we kept telling them, they don't care. They don't, these beings come and do not care. And if you cannot overpower them or match their power, they're going to just take you out. That's what they do. And they wouldn't listen to us. And they're saying, well, you're creating war, you're creating fear, and you're creating. And I said, no, we're just conveying a message. We saw it. You know, we saw it in the future. And so luckily half of the people listened, and they did gear up the ships, and they weaponized them, and they were much more advanced technology anyway. And if it wasn't for that, we would have lost the whole colony. But we did lose a lot of people, and a lot of people on that colony got a lot of cities were wiped out and things like that. But and a lot of the fifth dimensional beings from the Orion system are helping with the cleanup. That was in the fourth dimension where that was going on. And so they're helping. A lot of people will have a fifth dimensional life in the Orion system, and they're helping with the restoration and healing and cleanup, you know, of the fourth dimensional stuff that happened. So a lot of stuff like that happened, and that we're working on that same project. You know, that's why we shifted from, we have ESETI and we have the Lahar Foundation, which is using the same principles that we use there.
Nice. Well, we're coming to, I've still got a whole nother page of questions. We're coming to the end of the hour. Can I get you back?
Yeah. Yeah. I can come back on. No problem.
Oh, I'd love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Getting you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye.
Bye.